Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Wednesday's class, February 14th, 2024, 2 Corinthians.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God this evening to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians 5. And in preparation to worship our Lord this evening, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this evening to worship in your word, we ask that God the Holy Spirit might set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5, we are in a tremendous passage, 2 Corinthians 5, verses 1 through 10. This is a great passage that presents the mental attitude of the winner believer. The winner believer walks by faith and not by sight. The winner believer understands that he's here just a very short time on this earth. Right now you're living in a tent. Right now you're living in a human body that's very temporary. You're here today, you're going to be gone tomorrow. Apart from the rapture, I know the rapture might occur. Some of you pray for that every night. God doesn't hear that prayer because he's the one in charge of that, not you. But you're here a very, very short time. And in that short time while you're here to grow up spiritually in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That means somewhere down the line, the Word of God has to be more important to you than the air that you breathe. Now I know this is, some of you are all caught up with Valentine's Day. That to me is the stupidest of all holidays. It's Greek mythology. I don't give a damn about Greek mythology. I give a damn about the Word of God. Not Greek mythology. Not some little stupid thing with wings shooting bows and arrows at you. Call him Cupid. That's Greek mythology. There has nothing to do with the Word of God. I don't get all cranked up about Valentine's Day. There's some great holidays that stand for freedom. But we're here a short time, and sad to say, most Christians in this country, God and the Word of God doesn't mean a damn thing. And that's why this nation is in the position that it's in. We're on the verge, we're living on the edge of the volcano. You're going to see things happen in this country you haven't seen before. The fourth cycle of national discipline. You think in the past you study about the Depression, the Great Depression. That's a Sunday school picnic compared to what's coming in this country. And if we don't wake up and turn back to God and His Word and change our thinking, why then will come the fifth cycle of national discipline. In the Bible, there is no United States of America in the tribulation. Nowhere in that 7-year tribulation period after the church age ends, there's no mention of the United States of America. We are a non-issue, if we're even an issue. There are about 100 different ways we can be totally destroyed as a client nation to God. And yet here is the passage, 2 Corinthians 5, 1 through 10, that presents the mental attitude of the winner believer, who recognizes that he's only here a very short time in a human body, but he has his eyes on the invisible. He has the eyes of his soul. You see, you have two sets of eyes. You have your physical eyes, and you can see things around you, material things. They're all very temporary. They're here today and gone tomorrow. But the eyes of the soul can see that which is eternal, that which is invisible. The eyes of your soul, when you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, you can see Jesus Christ. You have occupation with Christ. You have personal love for God the Father. You see with the eyes of the soul, you see heaven. You see your interim body and your resurrection body. You see the judgment seat of Christ. You see being evaluated at the judgment seat of Christ. And for the winner believer, having those greater grace blessings awarded to him at the judgment seat of Christ that will glorify God forever and ever and ever. But most believers living today will never have any of that. Most of the believers living today will only know pain. They will only know, first of all, the pain of warning discipline, intensive discipline, dying discipline, the sin unto death, horrible pain, and that isn't the only time. Then at the judgment seat of Christ, they will have the pain of standing before Jesus Christ and being totally ashamed that in the time that they were living on this earth, they totally failed to live the spiritual life. Instead, they lived in Satan's cosmic system, interlocking systems of arrogance, preoccupied with themselves, preoccupation with self, interlocking systems of arrogance. And cosmic two, interlocking systems of hatred. They developed antagonism toward God, antagonism toward Bible doctrine. They even hated Bible doctrine. They hate doctrine. And sad to say, they hate God. They become the enemies of the cross of Christ. That's all most Christians will know. Pain one, warning, intensive, and dying discipline. Pain two, ashamed at the judgment seat of Christ. But this passage looks at the winner believer. Those few winner believers who grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, who see with the eyes of their soul Jesus Christ. They see God. They see the essence of God, the plan of God, the will of God. They see heaven. They see a resurrection body. They see the judgment seat of Christ and glorifying Christ forever and ever and ever because of the greater grace blessings awarded to them. All of that's included in this great passage, 2 Corinthians 5, 1 through 10. So let's take a look at the corrected translation starting with verse 1. For we know, and that we is the winner believer. For we know that if our earthly house, our human body, which is a tent, which means very, very temporary, is taken down, that's physical death, we keep on having a building from God, resurrection body, a house not made with human hands, eternal in the heaven. Verse 2, for indeed in this tent, our human body, we groan and keep on longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven, our resurrection body. Inasmuch as we, having put on the resurrection body at the rapture, the resurrection, we absolutely will not be found naked. Verse 4, certainly indeed while we are in this tent, in our human body, we groan, suffering, adversity, testing, being burdened, because we absolutely do not want to be unclothed, mortality in our human body that dies, but to be clothed, immortality, with a resurrection body that lives forever. For the purpose that mortality may be swallowed up by life, immortality. Verse 5. Now the one who prepared us for this very purpose is God, God the Father, the one who gave to us the Spirit, the universal indwelling of God the Holy Spirit, as a down payment, a guarantee. Verse 6, therefore, we always have confidence. That's the winner believer. The loser believer does not have confidence in God, does not have confidence in the Word of God. This is the winner believer. Therefore, we always have confidence and know that while we are at home, in the house of the human body, this temporary tent that we're living in, we are out of the house of the resurrection body. And of course, before the rapture, the interim body, away from the Lord. Verse 7, for we, the winner believer, we walk by faith. Absolutely not by sight. In verse 6, we have the principle of the two houses. That is, you can't, this is a deep point. You can't be inside of two houses at the same time. That's if you didn't get that down, you better get that down. If you are in the first house of the human body, then you are out of the second house, the resurrection body, and therefore you are away from, you're separated from the Lord. The spiritually mature believer has this mental attitude. That is, he would much rather be out of the first house, out of his human body, and in the second house, his resurrection body. This is the mental attitude of the winner believer, he who has fulfilled 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7. He is walking by faith and not by sight. In that verse, verse 7, the verb peripateo is the verb to walk. Peripateo means literally to go about or to walk around. Figuratively, it is used of the walk of life, the Christian walk. In our verse, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7, peripateo describes the spiritual walk of the church age believer who is living the unique spiritual life of the church age by the spiritual skills. For we walk by faith. Absolutely not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7 is picking up what Paul was teaching in chapter 4, 2 Corinthians 4, 18, which says, while we do not, and we, again, we is the winner believer living the spiritual life, not the loser believer. While we do not fix our eyes on, we are not preoccupied with the things which are seen, visible things, material things. But we fix our eyes on, we are occupied with the things which are not seen, the spiritual, the invisible, heaven, resurrection body, the Lord Jesus Christ. For the things which are seen, the visible, material, are temporary. But the things which are not seen, the Lord Jesus Christ, heaven, resurrection body, they are eternal. That's what Paul is picking up again. The Apostle Paul was walking by faith. Faith in the unseen. Faith in the invisible. He was occupied with the Lord Jesus Christ. And heaven. And a resurrection body. Not with the visible. Not with the material things of this world. And this is the basis of the winner believer's confidence. The winner believer lives his life in the light of eternity. He walks by faith and absolutely not by sight. The winner believer is not preoccupied with the visible, the material, what is seen. Rather, the winner believer walks by faith in the eternal, the Lord Jesus Christ, the resurrection body. The winner believer is living the faith rest life to the maximum. And therefore, he has absolute confidence in God and absolute confidence in the Word of God. No matter what's going on in his life. And we have two phases. Our life here, it's very short. But there's two phases of our life, a living phase and a dying phase. And we are here to glorify God in the living phase. And when that dying phase, how long is that? Well, it differs. Sometimes it can be several years. Sometimes it'd be a few months. Sometimes it could be a few seconds. But there's a living phase and there's a dying phase. the Apostle Paul, his actual physical death was instant. The lictor's axe came down on his neck, his head fell off, he was absent from the body, face to face with the Lord. But he knew that was going to happen when he was arrested and placed in the Mamertine dungeon. He knew he was going to be executed. And what was he doing? Crying? Oh, I'm too young to die. No, he was happy. He was sharing the happiness of God. And he even had Timothy come and bring him some. He had all of different books that he wanted brought and had a great time with Timothy. And he was sharing the happiness of God all the time he was in the Mamertine dungeon, knowing he was going to be executed. Yes, he was looking forward to it. He was looking forward to be absent from the body and face to face with the Lord. The Apostle Paul glorified God in his living, and he glorified God in his dying. And we all will die different ways. I doubt if you will have your head lopped off. Although with the way things are going in this country, you never know. I don't know if you realize this, but we are the enemy in this country. We're the enemy. We're the problem. And so you're going to find Christians who will be arrested and put in prison. But I've already told you, all you got to do to get out is sing. You people sing and they'll let you out to save their ears. That's where we are in this country. And I expect all of you to glorify God in the living phase of your life and glorify God in the dying phase of your life. We have some great, great winner believers in this church who are facing their categories of suffering for blessing. And I'll tell you, they are glorifying God to the maximum. Deb and I had the privilege of what we called Don Lebchek and Sue. Said, I know he's not feeling, I know he's feeling pretty punk. But if we would like to just come over and sit with him and talk with him, but if he doesn't feel up to doing that, no problem. Well, they said, yeah, come on over. We went over. Well, I wish you all could have been there. It was absolutely a miracle. Don was there and Sue, and we started reminiscing. We started going over all of the hunting trips, all of the fishing trips, and reminiscing and laughing and talking. And Don was laughing and he was having just an absolute great time. And I would bring up one thing. He said, yeah, and then this and this one. And talk. We stayed there for an hour and a half reminiscing about fragrant memories of hunting and fishing. And it was a miracle. He told Chris's son was there, told Chris, I feel so great, I want to go out and walk 2 miles. Hell, I can't walk 2 feet. He wanted to walk 2 miles. Well, Don is and Sue, they're winner believers. They see the invisible. With the eyes of their soul, they see Jesus Christ. They see heaven. They see the interim body, the resurrection body. They see the judgment seat of Christ. And Don is glorifying God in the dying phase as he glorified God in the living phase. And he has the problem-solving devices, the precisely correct procedure to clear the hurdles of suffering for blessing. And he's clearing the hurdles of suffering for blessing. This is what we have here. So the winner believer lives his life in the light of eternity. The winner believer walks by faith and absolutely not by sight. The winner believer is not preoccupied with the visible, the material, what is seen. Rather, the winner believer walks by faith in the eternal, the Lord Jesus Christ, the resurrection body. The winner believer is living the faith rest life to the maximum, and he has absolute confidence in God and the Word of God, Bible doctrine. For we, winner believers, walk by faith, absolutely not by sight. We are commanded to walk in the light, Ephesians 5:8. This is a command to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. Since we are positionally in the light, in union with Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world, we are commanded to walk experientially in the light as children of light. Just as walking in darkness is incompatible with walking in light, so Christian degeneracy is incompatible with the spiritual life. The command to walk in the light is a mandate to be filled with the Spirit and consistently and faithfully metabolize Bible doctrine. The precedence for walking in the light is found in 1 John 2, verse 6, which we studied on our Thursday night class. 1 John 2, 6, the one who claims to abide in him, in Christ, is obligated also himself to keep on walking, living the spiritual life, just as he, the Lord Jesus Christ, walked and lived the spiritual life. That's the precedence. The precedence for walking in the light, it begins with our Lord Jesus Christ in his hypostatic union. All precedence for living the spiritual life is derived from our Lord's walk on this earth in his hypostatic union at the first advent. The ultimate objective of walking as children of light is to attain spiritual maturity and have virtue love brought to completion in our hearts. The power to live the spiritual life comes from God the Holy Spirit. It's a supernatural way of life. It demands supernatural power. You can't live it by your energy of the flesh. It can only be lived by the divine power, the power of God the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5, 16 and 17. We are commanded to walk in a manner worthy of God. 1 Thessalonians 2:12. The believer living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills is walking in newness of life. Romans 6, 4. And therefore he is walking in the light. The believer living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills fulfills our verse, 2 Corinthians 5:17, he walks by faith and not by sight. We are commanded to be imitators of God and walk in virtue love, specifically impersonal love for all, Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. We are commanded to walk in a manner worthy of our election to privilege, Ephesians 4, 1 and 2. We are to walk in consistent and faithful metabolization of Bible doctrine. Psalm 119, 1 to 3. 2 John, verse 4. 3 John, verse 4. Ephesians 5, 15. We are to walk in maximum divine good production. Ephesians 2, 10. Walking is used for the mandate to advance to the objective of spiritual maturity, 1 Thessalonians 4:1. But then there is the reversionistic believer, the believer living in the cosmic system, the believer living in interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred. And he is described in Philippians 3, 18 and 19, 1 John 1, 6, 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 3. For we walk by faith and not by our physical eyes. You see, we have two sets of eyes. We have the eyes of our body, physical eyes, and we have the eyes of our soul. The eyes of the body see the things that are visible. There is nothing wrong with the things that are seen as long as you don't become preoccupied with the things that are seen. The believer who is preoccupied with the things that are seen is walking by sight and not by faith. He is walking in the cosmic system. He is preoccupied with himself and earthly things, Philippians 3, 18 and 19. The eyes of the soul have the potential to see the things which are not seen. The believer who walks by faith and not by sight sees the unseen, the invisible, through maximum metabolized doctrine in his heart. We see the unseen Christ who is now seated at the right hand of God the Father. We see him with maximum metabolized doctrine. And we fix our eyes, the eyes of our soul, on the Lord Jesus Christ, occupation with Christ. We see the unseen resurrection body and our unseen destiny of heaven through metabolized doctrine that we've learned and believed and is in our heart. The believer who walks by faith focuses the eyes of his soul on the principles and promises and doctrines of God's Word, not on the problems or suffering in his life. The believer who walks by faith is living his life in the light of eternity, looking forward to being absent from his physical body and face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ in his resurrection body. When you live your life by faith and not by sight, you are not preoccupied with present difficulties or suffering or adversity. You are not focused on the seen, but on the unseen. The believer who walks by faith and not by sight eagerly awaits ultimate sanctification, his adoption as adult sons, resurrection, being in heaven, and the redemption of his body, his resurrection body, Romans 8, 23 to 25. To walk by faith and not by sight means to live your life in obedience to God's mandates and clear all the hurdles of suffering for blessing by the grace and the power of God. 2 Corinthians 12, verses 7 through 10. Now that brings us to verse 8. We are confident, I say. This is the post-positive conjunction de with the conjunction chi, plus the present active indicative of the verb thareo. The conjunction de is used to resume a discourse that has been interrupted. Paul is now resuming in verse 8 what he was teaching in verse 6, and it may be correctly translated, I say, and the conjunction chi, and. And then we have the verb thareo. T-H-A-R-R-E, long O, thareo. This is the same verb that we had back in verse 6. A couple of things. One, thoreo means to be confident, and that is maximum confidence in God, because you know God. You see God. You know the attributes of God, the essence of God. You have maximum confidence in God and maximum confidence in the Word of God. And thoreo means also to be courageous. And that is courage toward man and courage toward testing, suffering for blessing. Two, it means total assurance in your thinking as a result of maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart. It means total assurance in your thinking as a result of maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart. Three, as a result of growing up spiritually in grace, grace orientation, and knowledge, doctrinal orientation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you have unshakable confidence in your soul. Unshakable confidence in God and in the Word of God. So as a result of growing up spiritually in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you have unshakable confidence in your soul. Four, both confidence and courage are developed in the soul of the church age believer who lives the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. Both confidence and courage are developed in the soul of the church age believer who lives the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. By being filled with the Spirit and functioning under the teaching ministry of God the Holy Spirit, the church age believer consistently and faithfully learns, believes, and then applies the absolute truth of the God-breathed scriptures to his own life. Bible doctrine circulating in his stream of consciousness, the stream of consciousness of his heart, develops divine solutions to clear the hurdles of suffering for blessing in time. Learning and believing doctrines of the Word of God, those doctrines related to phase three, those doctrines related to eternity and heaven and our resurrection body and the judgment seat of Christ, gives the believer a personal sense of destiny. Point five, a personal sense of destiny, maintaining the eternal perspective, being occupied with Christ, give the believer tremendous confidence and courage. A personal sense of destiny, maintaining the eternal perspective, being occupied with Christ, gives the believer tremendous confidence and courage. Six, courage is thinking Bible doctrine. It is the winner believer thinking divine viewpoint, thinking the Word of God in times of suffering for blessing. And that is the great, one of the greatest categories of greater grace blessing for time. God has greater grace blessing for time for the winner believer and greater grace blessing for eternity for the winner believer, awarded at the judgment seat of Christ. But here, courage is thinking Bible doctrine in times of suffering for blessing. The winner believer is qualified to receive suffering for blessing. He not only glorifies God in times of prosperity, he glorifies God in times of suffering for blessing. 7, for the winner believer, the invisible, heaven, a resurrection body, occupation with Jesus Christ, is more real to him, than the problems or the difficulties of life. For the winner believer, the invisible, heaven, resurrection body, occupation with Jesus Christ, is more real to him than the problems or the difficulties of life. And therefore, point 8, the winner believer is never afraid of physical death. Never afraid of physical death. In fact, he prefers and would much rather be out of the tent of his human body and in heaven, face to face with the Lord in his interim body and resurrection body. The winner believer is never afraid of physical death. In fact, he prefers and would much rather be out of the tent of his human body and in heaven face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ in his interim body and eventually resurrection body at the rapture. 9. His destiny of heaven and being face to face with his Lord is far, far greater and more real than any difficulties or sufferings of phase 2 time. Whether it's the living in phase 2 or the dying in phase 2. His destiny of heaven and being face to face with the Lord is far, far greater and more real than any difficulties or sufferings of phase 2. Whether it's living, the living phase of phase 2 or the dying phase of phase 2. So verse 8 begins very powerfully. We, and again we is winner believers. Believers who are making the good decisions. We're here just a short time. In that short time, you have a free will. You have a volition. God gave you a volition. That volition, you can make good decisions to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skill, to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, to have virtue, love, brought to completion in your heart. Or you can use that volition to make bad decisions. To make bad decisions to live in the cosmic system. To make bad decisions to live in interlocking systems of arrogance, preoccupation with self, interlocking systems of hatred, antagonism toward God, the Word of God. You have a free will. You can't blame it on anybody else. You're the product of your own free will decisions. You can't blame anybody else. Can't blame it on your mother or your father for dropping you on your head when you were a baby. It might have knocked some sense. My mother always said, if I got hit in the head, well, maybe you can't. That's a good thing you got hit in the head or you might have got hurt. Well, she always, that was her favorite thing. Good thing you got hit in the head, you might have got hurt. There was one time I got hit in the head, really hit in the head. I had a cousin who was killed in a car accident. all of the Olson's family was going to, well, they didn't call it a memorial service, it was a funeral. They were all going to it, and so all of the kids, we were over at my aunt's house, and my cousin had just been given a new bicycle with a speedometer. A speedometer. And everybody was trying to get that speedometer up to 20 miles per hour. Nobody could do it. I said, I can do it. I got on that bike, and I got my totally looking at the speedometer, not looking where I'm going, looking at the speedometer. And I just got it to 20 miles per hour and looked up, and there was a car. I don't remember anything after that. They said it was really amazing. I hit that. The bike went through the air. I went through the air, landed on my head on the pavement. I had a knot in the back of my head that was just about that big. At that time, doctors would make house calls. I called our family doctor, Dr. Shikani. All I remember when I came to, there was Dr. Shikani. And he goes, okay. He said, he'll be all right. My mother said, well, it's a good thing he got hit in the head. He might have got hurt, you know. They thought there were going to be two funeral services, one for my cousin and one for me. The doctor said, well, the good thing is that knot came out the back. If it didn't come out the back, then we would have all kinds of problems inside, bleeding. He said, he'll be all right. There's no extra charge for any of these. So this destiny of heaven and being face to face with his Lord is far, far greater and more real than any difficulties or suffering in phase two, whether it's the living phase or the dying phase. We are confident and courageous, I say. And then the King James says, and willing rather. It's much more powerful than the King James. This is the conjunction kai plus the present active indicative of el dokeo plus the adverb malon. Kai here is a connective kai translated and. And then the verb el dokeo. That's E-U-D-O-K-E, long O, eudokeo. Couple of things on this verb. One, literally, eudokeo means to be well pleased or to take delight in. Literally, to be well pleased or take delight in. Two, with the adverb malon, malon with the infinitive, it means to prefer. It should be translated to prefer. Three, it means for a far better reason to prefer. That's the best way to translate this. For a far better reason to prefer. Four, the believer with a personal sense of destiny, the winner believer, who lives his life in the light of eternity, prefers to be out of the house of his human body and in the house of his resurrection body, or interim body if it's prior to the rapture, and face to face with the Lord. So the winner believer with a personal sense of destiny, who lives his life in the light of eternity, prefers to be out of the house of his human body and in the house of his resurrection body, face to face with the Lord. Five, he prefers his resurrection body over his human body. He prefers his resurrection body over his human body. 6, he prefers heaven over earth. He prefers heaven over earth. 7, he prefers being face to face with his Lord over being separated from and away from his Lord. He prefers being face to face with his Lord over being separated from and away from his Lord. Eight, while the Lord has magnificent greater grace blessing for the winner believer in time, while the Lord has magnificent greater grace blessing for the winner believer in time, he has even greater grace blessing for the winner believer in eternity. He has even greater grace blessing for the winner believer in eternity, and those will be awarded following the rapture at the judgment seat of Christ, our evaluation before the Lord Jesus Christ. So the corrected translation, we are confident and courageous, I say, for a far better reason we prefer. Got that? We are confident and courageous, I say, for a far better reason we prefer. What do we prefer? The winner believer prefers to be absent from this physical body. To be absent from the body. This is the aorist active infinitive of the verb ek de meo plus the prepositional phrase, the preposition ek. So we have ek de meo. So we have the ek in the verb, ek de meo, and then we have the preposition ek plus the genitive singular of soma. Ek de meo is the same verb we had in verse 6. Looks like that in the Greek, E-K-D, long E-M-E, long O. Ek de meo. Ek de meo. We have ek, it's a compound verb made up of the preposition ek, out from, plus domos, house. So literally it means out of the house. And then after the verb out of the house, we have the preposition out of, plus the genitive singular of soma, which is the body, the human body, out of the human body. So the corrected translation, we are confident and courageous, I say, for a far better reason. We prefer to be out of the house, out of our human body. One, this is actually a biblical definition of physical death. Here we have a biblical definition of physical death. Two, physical death is the real you, your soul and human spirit, being out of the house, that is, out of the human body. Physical death is the real you, your soul and human spirit, being out of the house, that is, out of the human body. Three, at physical birth, God creates the real you, soul life, and puts you in the house of your human body. At physical birth, God creates the real you, soul life, and puts you in the house of your human body. Four, at physical death, God takes you out of the house of your human body. So at physical birth, God creates the real you, soul life, and puts you in the house of your human body. At physical death, God takes you out of the house of your human body. And then the phrase, and to be at home with the Lord. This is the conjunction chi plus the aorist active infinitive, this time of endemao. Endemao plus the prepositional phrase pros plus the accusative singular of kurios. The conjunction chi is a connective chi translated and. And this time we have endemao. That also is a con. Here's, first we had ekdemao, out of the house. Now we have endemao, in the house. E-N-D, long E-M-E, long O. Endemao. It's also a compound word made up of the preposition in and domos, house. So endemao literally means in the house, but this time endemao is followed by the prepositional phrase pros plus the accusative singular of kurios. Pros plus the accusative means face to face with. Face to face with who? Face to face with kurios, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, prior to the rapture, this means that right here, this verse teaches that there is an interim body, face to face with, pros plus the accusative of kurios, face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. So at physical death, you're out of the human body, you're now in your interim body, face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll be in that interim body until the rapture, when we receive our resurrection body. So the corrected translation, we are confident and courageous, I say, for a far better reason. We prefer to be out of the house, out of the body, our human body, and in the house, face to face with the Lord, our interim body, and eventually our resurrection body at the rapture. All right. Well, this is an amazing passage, 2 Corinthians 5, 1 through 10. Now, there's no reason that all of you have this kind of mental attitude. I expect you, as you make good decisions, to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, to make Bible doctrine more important than the air that you breathe, and grow up and have virtue love brought to completion in your heart, you won't be afraid of physical death. You have your eyes on the invisible. You walk by faith and not by sight. You have your eyes on Jesus Christ. You have your eyes on heaven. You have your eyes on the resurrection body. You're looking forward. You prefer far, far greater. You prefer to be out of this body into that interim body and eventually resurrection body, face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. And you look forward to that. So there's no fear of physical death, because you have maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart, which gives you phenomenal confidence in God, in the Word of God, and courage toward your circumstances, courage toward suffering for blessing, courage toward adversity, courage toward testing, and to glorify God in those times, just as you did in times of prosperity. I expect you all to do that. And when it comes time, the Lord says for you to come home, enjoy the ride. Enjoy the ride. How awesome. How fantastic. You're being held by the hand of Jesus Christ is holding one of your hands, and God the Father is holding the other one of your hands. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, holding my hand. You ought to have that peace which transcends all human understanding. You ought to enjoy it. Enjoy the ride. When I get to that point, I think I'm going to, the last words I'll say is, let's light this candle. Here we go. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.